From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley studios in Boston and PRI, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. When transgenic food came on the market, the makers claimed it was substantially the same as natural food, so it didn't need to be regulated. But a recent Norwegian-led study in Iowa found that soy genetically modified to tolerate the herbicide glyphosate had considerable levels of the chemical's residues at harvest, compared to conventional soybeans, which had none. Some 85% of corn, 93% of soybeans, and 98% of sugar beets are genetically modified, and many European countries either ban such crops or require labeling. Well, with evidence mounting that GM foods are not the same as conventional ones, Vermont has become the first state to require labels on all food products that contain GM ingredients. Here to discuss the Vermont law and the new study of soy is Michael Hansen, senior staff scientist at Consumers Union.
What the researchers basically found is they tested 30 sets of samples. There was 11 from organic, 10 from conventional fields, and then 10 from the Roundup Ready fields. And what they found is with the engineered soybeans, every single sample had residues of both glyphosate and AMPA, which is its main breakdown product. And they averaged about 4 parts per million, and it was undetectable in either the organic or conventional.
Now, Monsanto, the company that makes Roundup, once called the amount of glyphosate found in these soybeans extreme levels. Why did they make that statement, and what would they say now?
Well, they made that statement back in 1999, and just so you know, there was what they found in this study was, well, glyphosate was about 3.3 parts per million, and its breakdown product was 5.7. So total, there was about 9 parts per million. And back in 99, they said they would consider 3 or 4 parts per million to be excessively high levels. Since then, however, what's happened is they've managed to get the levels increased. So in the United States, for example, the tolerance for soybeans is actually 20 parts per million.
How dangerous are those amounts?
We don't really know, although there is increasing evidence that glyphosate is not the benign chemical that people thought it was. For example, last year there was a study published that looked just at breast cancer cells that are sensitive to hormones, and they actually found incredibly low levels of glyphosate. We're talking the parts per billion range, and also down to the parts per trillion range, there was an effect. That's one thing. Second, there's increasing evidence that glyphosate might cause birth defects, and it's also been linked in epidemiology to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Michael Hansen, where is this GMO found in the market with these pesticide residues?
The engineered soy or engineered corn, that's in 70 to 80% of virtually all processed products. Anything that has either soybeans in it or potentially high fructose corn syrup. So in virtually any processed food, there's chips, crackers, cookies, cereals, soft drinks. And if it's soy, tofu, veggie burgers, I mean, almost anything that you can think of, because corn and soy are in a lot of things.
So how do federal regulators regard the issue of glyphosates and GMOs more broadly?
Since the U.S. doesn't recognize a difference between conventional breeding and genetic engineering, what they say is if we just look at the plants and they're, quote, substantially equivalent, then there's no reason to do a safety study or even label them because they're the same. Presently, the EPA and regulators consider glyphosate fairly benign. So they say the data, you know, justifies it's a safe level to have it up to 20 parts per million in soybeans, for example.
Aside from the pesticide residues, what differences, if any, did the study find between GMO, that is engineered soybeans, and those that are grown conventionally or organically?
Well, what they did find is the organic soybeans had the healthiest nutritional profile. There was actually more sugars and significantly more total protein, zinc, and less fiber in the organic soybeans compared to either the conventional or the GM soy.
So does that mean that they are not really substantially the same?
That's correct. Well, the organic were significantly different in nutritional qualities compared to either the conventional or the engineered. But that could be because it's a different variety, because often when you're growing something organic, it's for a special market. So that market might actually have wanted higher quality, more nutritious soybeans, whereas the conventional soy, most of that's fed to animals. So it would depend. The organic market is probably going more for soy that might be used in human consumption.
Michael Hansen, I want to turn now to news from Vermont, which recently became the first state in the country to require all food products containing GMO ingredients to be labeled as such. What do you see for the future of GMO foods in the U.S. given the new Vermont law?
Well, I think what's important here is this Vermont law is going to go into effect in July of 2016. So in 2 years' time, what this will do is this will spur other states to potentially pass labeling laws. And then I think ultimately that will spur action at the federal level.
So as I understand it, there are several other states that have similar bills to Vermont's new law working their way through the legislature. Can you tell me about a couple of those, please?
Yes, the other states that have action is California. There's a mandatory labeling bill that's moving through the Senate, and it's going to be heard in the Appropriations Committee probably on May 12th. In New York, there's a bill that would require labeling, and it should also be pointed out in Oregon. It looks like there's going to be a ballot initiative in the fall, another one like happened in California and Washington.
With Vermont now passing a GMO labeling law, to what extent will manufacturers just, have one package?
I think that's ultimately where this is going to go, because I think that very soon there will be a move toward having labeling at the national level. And I think Vermont is going to help spur that.
Michael Hansen's the senior staff scientist at Consumers Union. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
You're welcome. Glad to do this.